When the last mortal fault is destroyed, then the final trump will sound, which will end the battle of truth with error and mortality. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Here prophecy pauses. Divine science alone can compass the heights and depths of being and reveal the infinite. Truth will be to us the resurrection and the life only as it destroys all error and the belief that mind, the only immortality of man, can be fettered by the body and life be controlled by death. A sinful, sick, and dying mortal is not the likeness of God, the perfect and eternal. Matter is the primitive belief of mortal mind, because this so-called mind has no cognizance of spirit. To mortal mind, matter is substantial, and evil is real. The so-called senses of mortals are material. Hence, the so-called life of mortals is dependent on matter. Explaining the origin of material man and mortal mind, Jesus said, "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, evil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." This carnal material mentality, misnamed mind, is mortal. Therefore, man would be annihilated were it not for the spiritual real man's indissoluble connection with his God, which Jesus brought to light. In his resurrection and ascension, Jesus showed that a mortal man is not the real essence of manhood, and that this unreal material mortality disappears in presence of the reality. Electricity is not a vital fluid, but the least material form of elusive consciousness, the material mindlessness, which forms no link between matter and mind, and which destroys itself. Matter and mortal mind are but different strata of human belief. The grosser substratum is named matter or body. The more ethereal is called mind. This so-called mind and body is the illusion called a mortal, a mind in matter. In reality and in science, both strata, mortal mind and mortal body, are false representatives of man. The material so-called gases and forces are counterfeits of the spiritual forces of divine mind, whose potency is truth, whose attraction is love, whose adhesion and cohesion are life, perpetuating the eternal facts of being. Electricity is the sharp surplus of materiality which counterfeits the true essence of spirituality or truth, the great difference being that electricity is not intelligent, while spiritual truth is mind. There is no vapid fury of mortal mind expressed in earthquake, wind, wave, lightning, fire, bestial ferocity, and this so-called mind is self-destroyed. The manifestations of evil, which counterfeit divine justice, are called in the scriptures the anger of the Lord. In reality, they show the self-destruction of error or matter and point to matter's opposite, the strength and permanency of spirit. Christian Science brings to light truth and its supremacy, universal harmony, the entireness of God, good, and the nothingness of evil. The five physical senses are the avenues and instruments of human error, and they correspond with error. These senses indicate the common human belief that life, substance, and intelligence are a unison of matter with spirit. This is pantheism, and carries within itself the seeds of all error. If man is both mind and matter, the loss of one finger would take away some quality and quantity of the man, for matter and man would be one. The belief that matter thinks, sees, or feels is not more real than the belief that matter enjoys and suffers. This mortal belief, misnamed man, is error, saying, matter has intelligence and sensation, nerves feel, brain thinks and sins, the stomach can make a man cross, injury can cripple and matter can kill man. This verdict of the so-called material senses victimizes mortals taught as they are by physiology and pathology to revere false testimony, even the errors that are destroyed by truth through spiritual sense and science. The lines of demarcation between immortal man representing spirit and mortal man representing the error that life and intelligence are in matter show the pleasures and pains of matter to be myths, and human belief in them to be the father of mythology, in which matter is represented as divided into intelligent gods. Man's genuine selfhood is recognizable only in what is good and true. Man is neither self-made nor made by mortals. God created man. The inebriate believes that there is pleasure in intoxication. The thief believes that he gains something by stealing, and the hypocrite that he is hiding himself. The science of mind corrects such mistakes, for truth demonstrates the falsity of error. The belief that a severed limb is aching in the old location, the sensation seeming to be in nerves which are no longer there, is an added proof of the unreliability of physical testimony. God creates and governs the universe, including man. The universe is filled with spiritual ideas which he evolves, and they are obedient to the mind that makes them. Mortal mind would transform the spiritual into the material and then recover man's original self in order to escape from the mortality of this error. Mortals are not like immortals created in God's own image, but infinite spirit being all, mortal consciousness will at last yield to the scientific fact and disappear, and the real sense of being, perfect and forever intact, will appear. The manifestation of God through mortals is as light passing through the window pane. The light and the glass never mingle, but as matter, the glass is less opaque than the walls. The mortal mind through which truth appears most vividly is that one which has lost much materiality, much error, in order to become a better transparency for truth. Then, like a cloud melting into thin vapor, it no longer hides the sun. All that is called mortal thought is made up of error. The theoretical mind is matter, named brain or material consciousness, the exact opposite of real mind or spirit. Brainology teaches that mortals are created to suffer and die. It further teaches that when man is dead, his immortal soul is resurrected from death and mortality. Thus, error theorizes that spirit is born of matter and returns to matter, and that man has a resurrection from dust, whereas science unfolds the eternal verity that man is the spiritual, eternal reflection of God. Progress is born of experience. It is the ripening of mortal man through which the mortal is dropped for the immortal. Either here or hereafter, suffering or science must destroy all illusions regarding life and mind and regenerate material sense and self. The old man with his deeds must be put off. Nothing sensual or sinful is immortal. The death of a false material sense and of sin, not the death of organic matter, is what reveals man and life, harmonious, real, and eternal. The so-called pleasures and pains of matter perish, and they must go out under the blaze of truth, spiritual sense, and the actuality of being. Mortal belief must lose all satisfaction in error and sin in order to part with them. Whether mortals will learn this sooner or later, and how long they will suffer the pangs of destruction, depends upon the tenacity of error. The knowledge obtained from the corporeal senses leads to sin and death. When the evidence of spirit and matter, truth and error, seems to commingle, it rests upon foundations which time is wearing away. Mortal mind judges by the testimony of the material senses until science obliterates this false testimony. An improved belief is one step out of error and aids in taking the next step and in understanding the situation in Christian Science. Mortal belief is a liar from the beginning, not deserving power. It says to mortals, "You are wretched," and they think they are so. And nothing can change this state until the belief changes. Mortal belief says you are happy, and mortals are so, and no circumstance can alter the situation until the belief on this subject changes. Human belief says to mortals, you are sick, and this testimony manifests itself on the body as sickness. It is as necessary for a health illusion as for an illusion of sickness to be instructed out of itself into the understanding of what constitutes health. For a change in either a health belief or a belief in sickness affects the physical condition. Erroneous belief is destroyed by truth. Change the evidence, and that disappears which before seemed real to this false belief, and the human consciousness rises higher. Thus the reality of being is attained, and man found to be immortal. The only fact concerning any material concept is that it is neither scientific nor eternal, but subject to change and dissolution. Faith is higher and more spiritual than belief. It is a chrysalis state of human thought in which spiritual evidence, contradicting the testimony of material sense, begins to appear, and truth, the ever-present, is becoming understood. Human thoughts have their degrees of comparison. Some thoughts are better than others. A belief in truth is better than a belief in error. But no mortal testimony is founded on the divine rock. Mortal testimony can be shaken. Until belief becomes faith, and faith becomes spiritual understanding, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. A mortal belief fulfills its own conditions. Sickness, sin, and death are the vague realities of human conclusions. Life, truth, and love are the realities of divine science. They dawn in faith and glow full-orbed in spiritual understanding. As a cloud hides the sun it cannot extinguish, so false belief silences for a while the voice of immutable harmony. But false belief cannot destroy science, armed with faith, hope, and fruition. What is termed material sense can report only a mortal, temporary sense of things, whereas spiritual sense can bear witness only to truth. To material sense, the unreal is the real, until this sense is corrected by Christian science. Spiritual sense, contradicting the material senses, involves intuition, hope, faith, understanding, fruition, reality. Material sense expresses the belief that mind is in matter. This human belief, alternating between a sense of pleasure and pain, hope and fear, life and death, never reaches beyond the boundary of the mortal or the unreal. When the real is attained, which is announced by science, joy is no longer a trembler, nor is hope a cheat. Spiritual ideas, like numbers and notes, start from principle and admit no materialistic beliefs. Spiritual ideas lead up to their divine origin, God, and to the spiritual sense of being. Angels are not etherealized human beings, evolving animal qualities in their wings, but they are celestial visitants flying on spiritual, not material, pinions. Angels are pure thoughts from God, winged with truth and love, no matter what their individualism may be. Human conjecture confers upon angels its own forms of thought, marked with superstitious outlines, making them human creatures with suggestive feathers. But this is only fancy. It has behind it no more reality than has the sculptor's thought when he carves his Statue of Liberty, which embodies his conception of an unseen quality or condition, but which has no physical antecedent reality save in the artist's own observation and chambers of imagery. My angels are exalted thoughts, appearing at the door of some sepulcher in which human belief has buried its fondest earthly hopes. With white fingers they point upward to a new and glorified trust, to higher ideals of life and its joys. Angels are God's representatives. These upward-soaring beings never lead towards self, sin, or materiality, but guide to the divine principle of all good, whither every real individuality, image, or likeness of God gathers. By giving earnest heed to these spiritual guides, they tarry with us, and we entertain angels unawares. Knowledge gained from material sense is figuratively represented in Scripture as a tree bearing the fruits of sin, sickness, and death. Ought we not then to judge the knowledge thus obtained to be untrue and dangerous, since the tree is known by his fruit? Truth never destroys God's idea. Truth is spiritual, eternal substance, which cannot destroy the right reflection. Corporeal sense or error may seem to hide truth, health, harmony, and science, as the mist obscures the sun or the mountain. But science, the sunshine of truth, will melt away the shadow and reveal the celestial peaks. If man were solely a creature of the material senses, he would have no eternal principle and would be mutable and mortal. Human logic is awry when it attempts to draw correct spiritual conclusions regarding life from matter. Finite sense has no true appreciation of infinite principle, God, or of his infinite image or reflection, man. The mirage, which makes trees and cities seem to be where they are not, illustrates the illusion of material man, who cannot be the image of God. So far as the scientific statement as to man is understood, it can be proved and will bring to light the true reflection of God, the real man, or the new man, as St. Paul has it. The temporal and unreal never touch the eternal and real. The mutable and imperfect never touch the immutable and perfect. The inharmonious and self-destructive never touch the harmonious and self-existent. These opposite qualities are the tares and wheat, which never really mingle, though to mortal sight they grow side by side until the harvest. Then science separates the wheat from the tares through the realization of God as ever-present and of man as reflecting the divine likeness. Spirit is God, soul. Therefore, soul is not in matter. If spirit were in matter, God would have no representative, and matter would be identical with God. The theory that soul, spirit, intelligence inhabits matter is taught by the schools. This theory is unscientific. The universe reflects and expresses the divine substance or mind. Therefore, God is seen only in the spiritual universe and spiritual man, as the sun is seen in the ray of light which goes out from it. God is revealed only in that which reflects life, truth, love, yea, which manifests God's attributes and power, even as the human likeness thrown upon the mirror repeats the color, form, and action of the person in front of the mirror. Few persons comprehend what Christian Science means by the word reflection. To himself, mortal and material man seems to be substance, but his sense of substance involves error, and therefore is material, temporal. On the other hand, the immortal, spiritual man is really substantial and reflects the eternal substance or spirit which mortals hope for. He reflects the divine, which constitutes the only real and eternal entity. This reflection seems to mortal sense transcendental, because the spiritual man's substantiality transcends mortal vision, and is revealed only through divine science. As God is substance and man is the divine image and likeness, man should wish for and in reality has only the substance of good, the substance of spirit, not matter. The belief that man has any other substance or mind is not spiritual and breaks the first commandment, "Thou shalt have one God, one mind." Mortal man seems to himself to be a material substance, while man is image, idea. Delusion, sin, disease, and death arise from the false testimony of material sense, which, from a supposed standpoint outside the focal distance of infinite spirit, presents an inverted image of mind and substance with everything turned upside down. This falsity presupposes soul to be an unsubstantial dweller in material forms, and man to be material instead of spiritual. Immortality is not bounded by mortality. Soul is not compassed by finiteness. Principle is not to be found in fragmentary ideas. The material body and mind are temporal, but the real man is spiritual and eternal. The identity of the real man is not lost, but found through this explanation. For the conscious infinitude of existence and of all identity is thereby discerned and remains unchanged. It is impossible that man should lose aught that is real when God is all and eternally his. The notion that mind is in matter and that the so-called pleasures and pains, the birth, sin, sickness, and death of matter are real is a mortal belief, and this belief is all that will ever be lost. Continuing our definition of man, let us remember that harmonious and immortal man has existed forever and is always beyond and above the mortal illusion of any life, substance, and intelligence as existent in matter. This statement is based on fact, not fable. The science of being reveals man as perfect, even as the Father is perfect, because the soul or mind of the spiritual man is God, the divine principle of all being, and because this real man is governed by soul instead of sense, by the law of spirit, not by the so-called laws of matter. God is love. He is therefore the divine, infinite principle called person or God. Man's true consciousness is in the mental, not in any bodily or personal likeness to spirit. Indeed, the body presents no proper likeness of divinity, though mortal sense would fain have us so believe. Even in Christian Science, reproduction by spirit's individual ideas is but the reflection of the creative power of the divine principle of those ideas. The reflection, through mental manifestation, of the multitudinous forms of mind which people the realm of the real is controlled by mind, the principle governing the reflection. Multiplication of God's children comes from no power of propagation in matter. It is the reflection of spirit. The minutiae of lesser individualities reflect the one divine individuality and are comprehended in and formed by spirit, not by material sensation. Whatever reflects mind, life, truth, and love is spiritually conceived and brought forth. But the statement that man is conceived and evolved both spiritually and materially, or by both God and man, contradicts this eternal truth. All the vanity of the ages can never make both these contraries true. Divine science lays the axe at the root of the illusion that life or mind is formed by or is in the material body. And science will eventually destroy this illusion through the self-destruction of all error and the beatified understanding of the science of life. The belief that pain and pleasure, life and death, holiness and unholiness mingle in man, that mortal material man is the likeness of God and is himself a creator, is a fatal error. God, without the image and likeness of himself, would be a non-entity or mind unexpressed. He would be without a witness or proof of his own nature. Spiritual man is the image or idea of God, an idea which cannot be lost nor separated from its divine principle. When the evidence before the material senses yielded to spiritual sense, the apostle declared that nothing could alienate him from God, from the sweet sense and presence of life and truth.